Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Talking tonight about prayer. Luke chapter 18. And we'll begin in verse 1 there. Luke 18:1. And Brother Joe, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Do you remember Brother Jesse, too, up there? I teased him Monday night. They went up to start a house up there for Brother Greg's dad up in the UP. And so I texted Brother Jesse Monday night and asked him if he needed some help putting the roof on the next morning. And he let me know they had a lot of help up there. So I guess they didn't need me. Luke 18 in verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to what?
Pray.
To pray, and not what? To faint. So if we're not praying, we'll be fainting. Verse 2, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her what?
Continual
coming. She weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you, that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when what? The Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? So this passage is talking about prayer and talking about like the widow having to continually come as if coming to an unjust judge, an unsaved judge. Well, the Lord is not an unjust judge. He is a good and righteous judge. So verse 7 reminds us that he will avenge his own elect, which cry day and night to him. But the question is put in verse 8, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And it tells us as the time draws nigh and problems increase, trouble, tribulation increase, people are going to give up on praying. They're going to think it doesn't do any good. And so the Lord asked this question, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Well, where do we get faith? The Word of God. Let's go to Romans 10. Romans 10, 17. So that's why in the prayer list we have, there's a lot of scripture in there. And, you know, we can get down on our knees really discouraged and talk all we want to, but if we want to get up encouraged, we've got to meditate on the Word of God while we pray. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by what?
Hearing.
And hearing by what?
The
Word of God. So we need to be in the Word. As we pray, we need to be mulling over God's promises. As we're seeking for direction, we need to meditate on God's Word. We could have all kinds of crazy ideas, but we need the Word of God to guide us. So prayer. I can see in the Christian life, and just it's not only over our nation, but over the world right now, it seems like a period of darkness. And in such a time, there will be people that will give up on praying, thinking it doesn't do any good because God isn't listening. Well, He's listening. But we know this time is going to come. And you can just see the world prepping for the Antichrist. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And let's start in verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our what?
Trouble,
which came to us in Asia, that we were what?
Pressed out of measure.
You talk about stress. Well, that's what that's talking about. Pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we what?
Despaired
even of life. Who's saying this? Well, the Apostle Paul. God's using the Apostle Paul to write this. And he's saying we. So it wasn't just him. It was whether it was Silas with him or whoever was with him at the time. We despaired even of life. Verse 9, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which what? Raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Verse 11, ye also helping together by what? By prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. So he said in verse 11, ye also helping together by prayer for us. I can see in the Christian life, we really take prayer for granted. What it accomplishes. You may say, why does God even have us pray? He knows what we have need of even before we ask. Then why does he want us to pray? He wants us to depend upon him. He wants us to come to him. But I can see in the Christian life, we often do not realize the importance of our prayers for others. Nor often do we realize the importance of other people's prayers for us. Let's look at a few points here. Number one, these were some missionaries that were facing so much pressure that they despaired even of life. So these were some missionaries that were facing so much pressure that they despaired even of life. That's what we read in verse 8. It said, we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Now think, this is the same man God used to pen down Philippians 4:13. If you hold your place here, and then go to Philippians 4:13. A favorite verse of many people. Philippians 4:13. The Bible says, I can do what? All things through Christ, which what? Strengtheneth me. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Then if you go back to 2 Corinthians 1:8, he's saying, we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You know, it's like the message we saw on walking in the Spirit. You know, we can be walking in the Spirit one moment, and the next moment be walking in the flesh. So what is the key? The key is to quickly repent. There's just kind of, for some reason, this mode, and this we should call it the Pharaoh syndrome, I guess. Why do we walk around with unconfessed sin until the night? Or like Pharaoh, until the morning? When Moses, get rid of these frogs. Oh, glory over me. When do you want it? Tomorrow morning. How foolish. Why not like right now? So why do we walk around moping and discouraged because we sin when we can have cleansing that moment? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the key is just instantly, the instant we realize that wasn't right, that instant, Lord, please forgive me. And then get back in a split second walking in the Spirit. We don't have to keep walking in the flesh.
That just ruins the whole day. We can instantly confess our sins. So, yes, Paul was a man of just like Elijah, of like passions like we are. He's just a man. Peter said to him, "Get up. You know, I'm just a man," to Cornelius. So a visitor came to after the service last Sunday night. And so I was just sharing with him about the different missionaries up in the entryway there. And so I began at Reese and Stacy and began to tell him about them. And one by one, and we all know this, but as I was telling him, I got to thinking, you know what? A lot of our missionaries are off the field right now, some on furlough, but some on medical issues. And I thought, wow, our missionaries, a lot of them are really hurting right now. You know, they could really associate with 2 Corinthians 1 here in verse 8. They're just really hurting. They're suffering a lot of different things. You know, whether it's, you know, and as you pray for our missionaries, as we all have been praying for them, and you think, well, they're in the midst of a really big trial here. And, you know, we'll just pray they get better. But before one trial can get over, it's like they're being hit with another huge one. You know, like the walls, the Medicheras. There's so many of them that are just, it's like Job. So as I began to tell them, you know, about the walls and the physical problems. And, of course, there's the political problems in Haiti, too. That's not well. And then the Mataceras, the Snyders, facing severe physical needs. The Kotvis family also has been facing severe physical needs. And so we need to really pray. And let's go to Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. You know, when you face a really big trial, you know, your thought is, well, if I can just, you know, get through this and beyond this. But as we'll see with Job, he was just hit with one thing right after another. And this is happening to a lot of our missionaries. In Job chapter 1 and verse 12, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, The oxen were plowing, and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." So the oxen and the asses, we're all gone. Verse 16, "While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, The fire of God has fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee." You know, all the things the walls face, Sister Wall, you know, just diagnosed with a form of Crohn's disease. And so you're thinking, okay, get through this and get on some medicine if possible to help. Well, then they're struck by lightning and I don't know how many things in the house it ruined. They're waiting for an electrician to come and help them there. And it's like, the cattle are all gone and now lightning from heaven is, fire from heaven has destroyed all the sheep. Verse 17, "While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, The Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was what? Yet speaking. I mean, it's like boom, boom, boom. "There came also another and said, Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house." Do you think when this servant started in with that, he knew something was dreadful already? Yeah, I'm sure he did.
And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this, Job sinned not nor charged God foolishly. But you know what? As if that wasn't bad enough, round after round after round hit him, and then it hit him himself, his physical being, and he was so sick. And then he got so discouraged. So our missionaries just really need our prayer. Back in 2 Corinthians 1:9, but our missionaries have tried by God's grace to rest upon Him. 2 Corinthians 1:9, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. So they are trying to trust God, just like Job. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. I was talking to one of our missionaries that's gone through so much, and I said, you know, I think many times we really do not associate ourselves enough with these Bible stories because we know the end of the story. We don't really associate with Joseph's utter emptiness and loneliness with his own brothers hating him so much they wanted to kill him and instead sold him. I mean, how many times when we read through the Bible do we really stop and think about that? What would it be like for my own siblings to have hated me so much to sell me as a slave and really want me dead? How many times do we really associate with Daniel when it was against the law to pray, and he opened his window anyway, just like he always did, and prayed? He did not know whether God was going to deliver him from the lions. I mean, we all know, and we are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. We know that. We know when we die, we're going to instantly be with the Lord because we've received Christ as Savior. But we don't know what is going to take us to that point. We don't know when we get into trial if we are going to die through it or if the Lord is going to bring us through it to live longer. We don't know for sure if we are going to go up in the rapture or if we will die first. And so we don't associate much with Daniel being thrown into the lion's den. There's no apprehension about it on our part, like as if it was the first time we were watching this film, reading this account. We think, oh no, he's being thrown into the den of lions. That isn't right. He's an innocent man. We really don't think about that anymore because we know the end of the story. And so the problem is when we don't associate with their willingness to take a stand for God, no matter what, then when we get into a trial, you know, it's like panic time. Like, but I can't do that or I'll die. I can't do that or I'll be thrown in jail. We've just come through this, well, I guess we're still in it, the pandemic mode. You know, do we meet as a church? Do we not meet as a church? So there's so many issues. The disciples were thrown in jail often, many times. So we never know. Notice with me in Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 36. Hebrews 11:36. Let's see here. Let's back up a little bit here. Verse 33, Hebrews 11:33. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire. You think of Daniel in the lion's den. Think of the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The fire couldn't harm them. Quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the enemy armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. And others were what?
Tortured.
Not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were what?
Sawn
asunder. Were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Verse 39 says, these all, having obtained a good report, their report card with God was A, even though they died. Well, how do you think Peter felt when he was in prison and the next morning Herod was going to put him to death? And Herod had already put James to death. And do you think Peter was thinking back when the Lord told him, you know, when you're old, they're going to carry you whither you don't want to go? Do you think he was thinking about that? James had already been killed. He probably didn't have any clue that God was going to deliver him because of what the Lord told him earlier. But you know what? God did deliver him at that time. So we just never know. We may be sawn asunder or we may be delivered. But the point is verse 39, these all, whether they were delivered or died, these all having obtained a good report through what?
Faith.
Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, thinking about it, these are some missionaries that are facing so much pressure that they despaired even of life. Number two, these were some missionaries that were still faithfully trusting the Lord. Number three, these were some missionaries that acknowledged that they were helped by the saints praying for them. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 1, verse 11. First Corinthians 1:11. Ye also what? Helping together by prayer for us. Isn't that amazing? The great missionary. Many people would say Paul would be counted as the greatest missionary of all time other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is saying, you helped us. Helped us through what? Verse 8. Being when they were pressed out of measure. When they were despairing even of life. That's what they helped them by prayer. We went to hear a very well-known preacher one time. And afterwards, I had this preacher on my prayer list. And so I just thought I'd go up and talk to him just a moment. And so I waited in line and talked to him, and I just said to him, I said, I pray for you every day. And he looked at me with a strange look and never said a word. I thought, you know, I've had a lot of people tell me that they're praying for me, and I normally say, thank you, I appreciate it. He didn't say anything, and as I left the platform, I thought, I guess my prayers aren't worth much to him, I guess. I mean, what else could I think? It was really an awkward moment. And but you know what? Paul didn't, I don't know what he was thinking. But I know what Paul said here. He said, ye also helping together by prayer for us. He acknowledged that it was praying Christians that got them through those times. Paul didn't chalk it up to his own spirituality, although he was spiritual. You know, Paul didn't chalk it up to, you know, he was willing to sacrifice his life. And even later on, you know, they tried to get him not to go to Jerusalem, but he was ready to sacrifice his life for the Lord, even though that wasn't the right time. The Lord needed him yet. But Paul, you know, sometimes people that are really successful don't think anyone else had any part in getting them where they are. They think it's all themselves. So may we realize, you know what, when we have a good day, do we ever stop and think, I wonder who was praying for me? When something goes right, do we ever, when there's a success, do we pat ourselves on the back? Like, yeah, I read my Bible first thing this morning, and I prayed first thing this morning, and I haven't made any major blunders, you know. So, you know, do we pat ourselves on the back? Or, you know what? The real reason for success that day might have been because someone was laboring in prayer for us. Remember what Jesus told his disciples in John 4. John chapter 4 and verse 38. John 4:38. Jesus said to them, I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed what?
No labor.
Other men labored, and ye are entered into what?
Their labors.
You know, it's kind of like the evangelist coming into town and seeing fruit. And so then the evangelist preaches at you and says, where's your fruit? Well, who got the people there? Who were praying for those meetings? It's like, don't we so easily get puffed up? Yeah, see what I have done? Oh, if we could see it from the Lord's viewpoint. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. Keep that in mind and look at Acts 2. Acts 2 and verse 41. Acts 2:41. What's really hard to find is someone who is very successful and still humble. Acts 2:41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about what?
3,000 souls.
Keep in mind, John 4:38, I sent you to reap that whereupon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. 3,000. Well, it would have been real easy to say, wow, look at me. But the Lord's saying, I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. You're entering into someone else's labors. Acts chapter 4, verse 4. Acts 4:4. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about what?
5,000.
But remember John 4:38. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor, other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. So 3,000, 5,000. It would have been so easy for the disciples to say, wow. When Brother Jim and I were in Bible school, there was a graduate from the same college, and he was very successful in his ministry. I haven't heard that he's passed away yet, but he's got to be way up in years. But I heard him preach once, and he said he got started out in the ministry and was very successful. And he said inside, he thought one day, you know what? I could stand up here in the pulpit and say, Mary had a little lamb, and on with a little poem, and people would just come and get saved. I mean, he was just really full of himself. It's like, I would just have to get up there and say whatever I want to say, and they would just come, and people just come and get saved. And after he thought that in his mind, it's like the Lord just cut everything off. And he realized then that he had become so filled with pride because of his success. I recall reading an illustration one time, and a lady got saved in the service. And afterward, the preacher said to her, he said, "What was it in my message that moved you to get saved today?" And she said, "It was nothing in your message. It was the song that person sang after your message that touched my heart." Well, I guess that deflated him. It wasn't him at all. So, 2 Corinthians 1. 2 Corinthians 1 in verse 11. It's pretty amazing to hear Paul, to read what Paul said here. In 2 Corinthians 1:11, "Ye also," what? "Helping together," by what? "Prayer for us." 2 Corinthians 1:11, "Ye also helping together by prayer for us." Here's the great Apostle Paul, the great missionary, saying, you know what? There was a time when we were in Asia that we had so much pressure and stress on us that we despaired even of life. But you folks back here were helping together by prayer for us. Paul didn't think he was so big that little people didn't have a part in his ministry, because they did. He acknowledged it. He asked for prayer. Notice in 2 Thessalonians 3, in 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 1. 2 Thessalonians 3, 1. "Finally, brethren," what? "Pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be," what? "Delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith." He was depending upon them. He was asking for their prayer that they might be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. I think so many times we just feel, and more as we get to the end days, remember Luke 18, 1 through 8, "When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" The whole passage is dealing with prayer, praying and not fainting. And as the days darken, of course, we don't know when the Lord's going to return. We don't know, the timing of that. But we can sure see that it seems like the scene is set for that, and more each day. But in the meanwhile, as trials and tribulations come, it'll be easier and easier to think that God is not hearing our prayers. God is not listening. But He is. And we need not to faint. We need to keep praying. But so finally, brethren, pray for us. You know, if God is going to reward people for giving just a cup of cold water to someone in His name, don't you think He's going to reward those who are praying? I mean, even the Apostle Paul acknowledged that those back home that were praying were helping them. And he depended upon it. Notice with me in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. I was just in a conversation not too long ago, and I can't remember even what the conversation was about, but the matter of prayer got brought up, and it was like whatever was being talked about was something that none of us, who I don't even remember who it was in the group talking, but whatever it was nothing that any of us could do about it. And so it's like, well, I can't do anything, so I guess I'll pray. Well, that is doing something. Prayer is doing something. But that's the mentality we get so easily. It's like, well, I can't help anything, so I guess I'll pray, as if that's nothing. But Matthew 10:41, he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive what?
Prophet's reward.
So those who helped Elijah, those who helped Elisha, those who helped the prophets are going to receive a prophet's reward. Don't you think the Lord told us that? This is in the New Testament. He's telling us that. Don't you think he told us that because he who helps a missionary is going to receive a missionary's reward? He who helps whatever in the need is going to receive the same reward. You know, with Sister Wesco and the tragedy that happened over in Cameroon, and her dad was kind of updating us on things as things proceeded. But it was like Brother Wesco, he got his martyr's reward. And I told her dad, and I said, you know, I said she was right there helping him. She's going to get the same reward. She was helping her husband. So it's not just his reward. It'll be hers as well. And the same for us today. It goes on, and he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. In closing, if we could go back to John chapter 4, verse 38. John chapter 4 and verse 38. You know, the Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. And of course, we can't stay all day on our knees. I mean, we all have things we have to accomplish. But we can pray all day long. If God brings a name up to us, if God brings Brother Snyder's name to us in Honduras, pray. If he brings the Madachera's name, pray. If he brings the Wall's name, pray. Whose ever name? If he brings a name of someone here, or your loved one, one of your lost loved ones, just pray. Don't, you know, let's not get in the mentality, I need to pray about that person tonight or in the morning. No, let's pray right then. We don't know what's going on at the moment. But in John 4:38, I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor, other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. You know what? We can enter into their labors too. We need to pray for each other. And it just makes me wonder, you know, sometimes when people do get discouraged, are we praying as much as we should? You know, instead of saying, oh, you know, someone got discouraged and they did this or that, we shouldn't be pointing the finger at them. What should we be doing? We should be thinking, have I been praying for that person like I should? Has the Holy Spirit been prompting me to pray for that person? Did I? So let's not discount prayer as something unimportant. And remember Luke 8, because as the days go on and the days get spiritually darker, it's going to be more tempting to think, oh, prayer doesn't do any good. But it does do good. And so on the flip side of that, when we do have successes, let's not be so quick to say, oh, it was all me. You know what? It might be more somebody else praying in the background that we know nothing about. So let's glorify the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for prayer. And Lord, I pray that you would forgive us when we would be so conceited and so puffed up with pride that we would think we somehow met with success all because of our own goodness. And Lord, forgive us for ever thinking that way. It could be 99% other people praying for us, actually. So, Lord, please help us and help us, Lord, in these days not to get down in the mouth and not to falsely accuse you. We know that Job did really well that first day when he lost everything. But in the next round, when he lost his own health, he did complain. And he did wonder out loud why all that was happening to him. So, Lord, help us not to falsely accuse you. You're there. You're listening. May we be faithful. We pray in Jesus' name.